Hey everyone, my name is Josh, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and your family and be a blessing any way that we can. You could also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Good morning. Morning. Happy New Year. Good to see each and every one of you. It's crazy. We are in 2026. Get to really celebrate all that God has done through the effort, through your participation in being representatives of the gospel. We believe it is the power of God that leads to salvation to anyone who believes. That's not my words, that's the word of God. And so we cling to that wholeheartedly as a church, as followers of Christ, as individuals, as just one another trying to live out and shine the light of Jesus Christ. And so I get to look back and celebrate that. I said, I told Pastor Noble, I said, they missed one of my favorite events we did last year was our backpack drive we did here in Holly. We partnered with First Baptist of Holly and downtown Holly and provided backpack and supplies. Well, you did here in Holly, supplied a backpack and supplies for 250 plus families and kids all in Holly. It was great. It was really good. We were able to share the gospel and just, and I want you to hear this. Everything that we do, especially in the reach mindset of trying to reach our community, reach families, reach around the world, is not about the River Church. Okay? That is so important. It's not like, hey, well, they'll get to know the name, the River Church. Guess what? If we never say the River Church in any of our events, we've succeeded if we've said the name of Jesus Christ. That is so important. That has to be our mindset. That is the call. And so it's not about building bigger buildings. It's not about getting more for us. It's going, okay, Lord, give us opportunities. We're going to step through. We're going to see how we can represent the light of Jesus Christ the best we can, because we know none of us are perfect at that, but yet our call is to be ambassadors, representatives of Jesus Christ. And so that was just a little snapshot of 2025 in reaching. Obviously, there's way, way more. We had a couple growth communities be in mobile home parks in December as a church. They provided Christmas for families in these parks. We were able to share the gospel, got some pictures with Santa. You're like, those are just small. It is constantly happening. And there's more. I think we can list over and over and over, you individually participating. I had an opportunity to go to the Philippines and preach somewhat like 14 times. And so all in representing and shining the light for Jesus Christ, because we believe it is the power of God that leads to salvation. And I know I've been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. I know many of you have, and that is our goal, is to represent him to the best of our ability. Amen? Well, January is going to be a fun month. I was sitting here thinking, I sent a text out to our location pastors on Friday, just excited for all the things that we're going to participate. And then I got to thinking, wow, January is great. But then I'm looking forward to February with our family month, and then March prepping for Easter, and May. And you're like, May, okay, we'll start to be able to go back outside again. And so look forward to that. You're like, man, it's only a couple days away. I sent a text to a friend this week when pitchers and catchers report for spring training for the Tigers. That's what I was looking forward to. Like, man, look forward to that date, because we can get out of this crazy snow cold. But yet God has us here, and we're grateful for it. And so, but next week we're going to participate in our name tag gatherings again. You're like, what is that? Well, we do it twice a year where we're asked to put a name tag on. Why do we do that? Well, you forgot that person's name before, that you've introduced yourself 10 to 15 to 20 to 30. You fill in the blank. Hey, this is a freebie to get out of jail. If you start taking pictures of people, just remember it. That's okay, all right? And so some of you are laughing, but then I've seen some of you doing it. So it's important. Why? Because we need one another. And we'll do a greeting time in the gathering. Why? Because we love to gather as the church, greet and care for one another. Even you online can greet one another. There's a great way you can do that, as communicating in comment tabs. And so it's great. The following week, We're going to do a location pastor swap. And so I'll be headed to a different location. And then you'll be having one of our younger location pastors. I'm excited for Pat to come in here and preach. He's our Walled Lake location pastor. And so we do that. We're one church, nine locations. And we want the church to be built on Jesus Christ, not on a pastor, not on a person, but on the person of Jesus Christ. That is so important. So that's in a couple weeks. And just so many great things. But before we jump into the message this morning, I wanted to give you an update of where we finished budget-wise in 2025. And so I'm going to read this, and so I don't mistake or do anything that maybe I read something that I was incorrect on. And so about 8 weeks ago, we shared an update with the church on where we stood year-to-date with our annual budget. We asked you to join us in prayer, trusting that God would provide. And we challenged the church to participate in the 1,000 by 100 giving initiative to help address a budget deficit. Today, I stand here incredibly thankful for God's grace and for the way the church stepped in to meet the need. We had 966 people participate in the 1,000 by 100 campaign, raising $155,887, and don't forget 74 cents. That really is truly incredible, really is. The generosity didn't stop there, really. December became a record giving month for us as a church, as many recognized the need and responded faithfully. Our elders, with the approval of our deacons, set an audacious 2025 ministry budget of $4.5 million. Every time I say that, I would go, oh my goodness, that is crazy. Prayerfully trusting that God would provide what was needed to fund the work of the church. Once again, we stand amazed. Not only did God meet that budget, but we exceeded it by nearly $100,000. We are deeply grateful for your partnership in the work that God is doing here at the River. I'm reminded of the Macedonian church. I actually wrote this statement for our churches or our locations to read. And I added this end because I love the Macedonian church in 2 Corinthians. You're saying, what is it described? Paul is describing the Macedonian church, a church that didn't have a lot. And he's describing them and just their eagerness to participate in the ministry, in giving and participation and prayer. And so I'm reminded of the Macedonian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, who gave joyfully, sacrificially, and purposefully. That same spirit has been evident in our church over the past 8 weeks and prior to the 8 weeks as well, but really stood out over the last 8 weeks. And we thank God for each of you. So I just want to say thank you for participating in that. Thank you for praying for that. Thank you for giving. We celebrate that as a church. I know many of you, hey, where are we at? How we finished? Where did it go? And so we wanted to give you an update on that. And so we want to celebrate that with you here as the first Sunday of January 2026. And so thank you. All right. That's good. I don't know I know Pastor Noble talked about not having New Year's resolutions. I've gone back and forth on this, and so participating, going, hey, you know what? I like to set resolutions or goals. I don't know if you're a goal-oriented person. I do better with goals. Actually, I probably do better with competing against someone else for a goal, if you're really honest. But I love goals, right? Setting a goal. And so I don't know if you're a goal setter. So you rather call it a goal than a resolution. That's cool, whatever you want to do. But maybe your mindset is thinking, okay, what does 2026 bring? And I know that's a crazy question to ask in our world. And so you're like, okay, Lord, what are you bringing in 2026? And the reality is I have no idea, but he does, right? And so that's important. But understanding, I just maybe think about that. Maybe to be in the Word more, open His Word, like just on a daily process. The Bible apps got great reminders for you to be in a daily reading, and so you can be a part of that. I read this quote actually several months ago, and I had written it down in my notes because I thought it was so good. John Piper was once asked how he was so riveting as a Bible teacher. He said that the key is to preach as though the Bible is the most interesting, amazing, soul-stirring book ever written. And then he added, because it is. I love that statement because it really is. It truly is the most riveting, soul-stirring book ever written. It's incredible. It's really God-inspired, God-breathed. It's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction. And so, like, man, maybe you tune me out the rest of the morning, and that's okay. Well, it's not okay, but we'll work on that. But maybe, just hear me on this. Man, my challenge to be in his word more this year as a church. If we could do that, be committed as a goal to do that. Maybe be in a growth community. I know Pastor Noble shared that. Be a part of a community growing in God's word. We need one another, and we need others' encouragement to be a part of that. There's some great, great growth communities. Maybe it's to be more faithful in gathering with the church. The sad reality is, I think statistically they say the average Christian attends church 1.4 times a month. I don't know what 0.4 means, and so maybe you come for half the gathering or like 40% of the gathering. I don't know how that works, but that's a crazy stat. Why? I've said this, and I love this illustration. Go to the gym once a month and see how your fitness is. Right? You'll start looking like me, right? That's not a good thing. Right? That's not a good, like, the reality is to be a part of the body of Christ. Be committed. Be a part of growing and caring and loving. I know this as a really, really clear truth. We need one another. I know there's somebody else in this gathering here this morning that needs you. They really do. You're like, really? Yeah. Maybe just for you to run up and say, hey, you know, can I pray for you? You're like, that's allowed here? Yeah, I think it's okay. All right? Like, that those kind of truths are important. And so for us as a church, that's as you begin to think through this. And so this morning, I really want to challenge us as a church, and not just you, myself as well, because thinking through this, I feel convicted even in my own life of how am I using or leveraging the relationships God has placed in my life for his glory, to glorify God in my interactions, in every conversation, where I go. The sad reality is for us as Christians, it's easy to compartmentalize our walk with Christ. You're like, what does that mean? Well, it's easy to place it in like certain areas. Like, I live for Christ when I'm gathering with the church, hopefully, right? I live for Christ in this area, or I represent Christ, but I like to take that jacket off when I'm in this area. It's okay. If I can live for Christ in these areas, but if I don't really have to live for Christ at work, in my workplace. I don't have to live for Christ in whenever I go here or there. And the sad reality is that is not what God has called us to do. God has called us to carry that light of Christ as ambassadors, as representatives for him in a clear way every single day of our lives. And I don't care how old, how young, and this is really important, how much you know about the Bible or how much you don't. We're easy, like, well, I don't know enough about the Bible to represent Christ. Well, you should start reading it. That's an important thing, but be a part of a growth community, but you don't have to have all the answers. I think authenticity is so important as you represent Christ. I don't know all the answers. I can't figure this out, but I know one thing. God has transformed my life. He's changed me. He's made me new. I know many of you sitting here this morning, God has crazily transformed your life, and you're just saying, God, I don't know how you did it, why you did it, but I just love and I want to live from praise for you every single day of my life. That mindset has to be a part of who we are. And so this morning, I really want to challenge us to represent Christ more effectively and fervently in 2026. You're like, am I done in 2026? Hopefully not. But none of us are promised tomorrow. And I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here, but that's the reality. I know I have the breath of my lungs today on January, what, the 4th, right? And so January the 4th, 2026, I have the breath of my lungs, but I don't know what tomorrow brings, but my mindset, our mindset, our heartbeat, our cry, our efforts, our desire is to live more fervently for him, effectively. God, I want to carry the mantle of being a representative of you. If you want to make it even more practical, I want to carry the cross God has given me. I don't want to carry that as I follow him with everything that I am. Matthew chapter 28, it's a great passage because it gives us a commission, a challenge, a call. Jesus is getting ready to ascend into heaven. And Jesus came and said to his disciples, his followers, he's on the Mount of Olives here. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I find it interesting. Jesus is consistently and constantly saying, hey, you know what? I am the Son of God. I am the Son of God. I am God. And he still is, even in these final moments, he's saying, God has given me the authority. It's important that we see or understand that because he is constantly saying, no, I have the authority for this message. And so you need to be very, very clear in understanding this is what he's saying to them. And then he tells his disciples, his followers, the ones that have committed their lives to him, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This commission, this calling, lays an obligation on all Christians. It lays an obligation on all Christians. This is not just for the disciples. This is not just for pastors. This is not for ones that have been saved for 5, 10, 15, 20, you fill in the blank years. No, this is for all followers of Christ. It was great. Several months ago, we were talking in my men's group on a Wednesday night, and I began to discuss this idea of baptism, and I shared this with the group. My desire is to start seeing others in the church baptize. Like, really? Yeah, I just, baptism is not just a calling for the pastor. The pastor's call is not just to baptize. I love baptizing. I'm not demeaning that. But what really the commission, the calling is for us to be baptizing one another. Like, really? Yeah, you have someone that you have led to Christ, or you have discipled, you have been a part of their life. Guess what? I'd love for you to baptize them in this community. Like, really, that's a culture change. It is. It really is. I also say this. Baptizing is not just a man's job. You're like, well, the church has made it just for men. No, no, no. I don't see that in Matthew chapter 20. It's for all believers, all followers. And so you're like, that's allowed here? It is. And so hopefully we start to see that as we begin to see us live the light of Christ with one another, with our friends, with our family, with our coworkers, with other individuals, and we'll begin to see that grow. And so this obligation is for each and every one of us. But over the next few weeks, we're gonna look at the beginning of the church. Beginning of the church, and some argue that the beginning, the placement of the church was here in Matthew 28. Maybe it was prior as Jesus is meeting with his disciples in the upper room as he is getting ready to give his life for Christ. And so there's not one delineation point exactly where the church has begun, but we can look at the beginning of Acts and see the beginning points of the early church, the church growing. We see the church being empowered. We see the church sharing with one another their resources. We see the church proclaiming and preaching. We see the church experiencing difficulties. And I know you're like, that happens in church then, and it happens now as well. But in Acts, we're going to look at Acts 1. We see a big statement being made. Acts chapter 1, verses 8. But you will receive power, this is Jesus again, Luke is recording here in Acts, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the age. This calling, this empowerment, this statement Jesus is making right to his early followers. He's saying, hey, you know what? He has described himself. I need to ascend. I need to leave. One coming after me will comfort. He will equip. He will empower. This is describing the Holy Spirit. But Jesus, in his final moments here on this earth, is looking at his closest followers, his closest representatives, his closest really ambassadors, and say, go represent me. Go be my witnesses. But he does it in three important areas. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria. In this commissioning, we see a promise being given, but also this promise concerns a person, a power, and a program. The person is Jesus Christ. It's important that we understand that. We represent him. That's why I opened this message, this whole conversation. We are gathered here for Jesus Christ. Okay? I don't care how old, how young. Maybe you've walked into this church for the first time this morning. I want you to know we are gathered here for Jesus Christ. That is our mindset. That is our hope. Yeah, we are all broken sinners trying to live for Jesus Christ. We've repented of our sins. We're trying to live for him in a real, authentic way. But no one has this life figured out. We just are here to worship the name of all names, the name of Jesus Christ. That is so imperative and important. He's the rock on which the whole structure is built. That's not Peter, okay? Jesus is the rock that the whole structure is built. I read this quote. It's a powerful quote. The central focus of the Bible is not a set of practical principles for life. No, the central theme of the Bible is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. What a powerful declaration. And so this witness that we will become, we will witness, we will represent him. Acts later in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up to the according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed him by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. What and who is this describing? This is describing Jesus. This is Peter now preaching at Pentecost. What is he preaching about? He's preaching about the power of Jesus Christ. Man, we can preach about a lot of different things in our culture. We can preach about all the different things that affect our daily life. We can preach of the uncertainty in our world. But guess what? May we never, ever, ever stop preaching about Jesus Christ. That's so important. But in the Acts 1:8 statement, or the Acts 1:8 commissioning, or the Acts 1:8 empowerment, Luke writes this word, my witnesses. The Greek word translated here is just to convey the idea of someone who testifies in court. And so you are, put your right hand on the Bible and you are swearing as a witness to the power, to the person of Jesus Christ. You will be my witnesses. A few years ago, maybe you'll know this illustration, maybe you won't, and that's okay. I'll help you with it. There was a professional basketball player named LeBron James, still a professional basketball player, but he played in Cleveland. And so they started a whole process and program. They printed out shirts that just said witness. They print out shirts, and so you'd go to games, and you'd be a witness to the greatness of LeBron James. Now, I'm not a big LeBron fan, and we don't have to get into that this morning, but they were witnesses to his greatness. Can I say this? We have been witnesses to something far greater. Far greater. Far greater, as we can carry that torch to be witnesses that, you know what, if somebody comes and says, hey, you know what and who is this Jesus? I don't know exactly all the details, the ideas, all the person. I simply know this person found me when I was lost, and I've been found by the power of Jesus Christ. His grace, his mercy, his love, these attributes are so important. And so you are a witness as a follower of Jesus Christ. You've been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are a witness. You are a witness. Good witness or a bad witness? Like, really? Yes. You are representing him, carrying that mantle in your home, in your workplace, in your neighborhood. Every interaction, am I a good witness to the power, the greatness, the authority of Jesus Christ? I wrote this in my notes. We cannot be a witness unless we know him. And the best way to start is be in his word. See, we are called to be a witness of Jesus Christ with our words and our conduct. And so we understand that person of Jesus Christ. Acts 1:8, it's all about the person of Christ. But then we see the equipping. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The fulfilling or the filling of the Holy Spirit as a follower of Jesus Christ. When you confessed your sins, you repented of them, you turned and asked the Lord to be your Savior. You were filled or sealed with the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. And so understanding and figuring that out, that's difficult. I understand that we could spend a sermon series on empowerment of the Holy Spirit, but let's just agree on this very clear, concise statement. The power of the Holy Spirit is on those who are followers of Jesus Christ, as he has empowered us to be led by him, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, we are Christ's witnesses, fulfilling the Great Commission in our cities, in our states, in our country, and anywhere else God sends us, to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be guided, to be directed, to be tempered, is so imperative for us as children of God. And so as we live that out, you're like, what does that look like on a daily basis? God, you lead me, you guide me, your Spirit, place me right where you want me today. Man, that's a dangerous prayer. It really is. It really is. Like, I'm not just saying you don't know where God may place you, but guess what? He won't leave you alone in it. You won't be alone in it. You'll be empowered and equipped by it. The great Billy Graham said, God never calls a person into his service without equipping them. And I know that from experience. I thought, wow, what a powerful statement. And so we are empowered, given power and authority by the Holy Spirit to represent Christ. Why? Because as Romans 1:16, we believe it is the power of God that leads to salvation to everyone, to anyone who believes. But as I said earlier, we see a person being declared, we see the power be given, and then we see a program. Saying, what is this program? Well, it's organized spreading of the gospel. Says you will be a witness in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. What is happening here? It's starting and spreading. It's starting and spreading. But it's really a focus on, hey, I need to reach those that I can have contact with. When you read Matthew chapter 28, it can feel overwhelming. I've got to reach the whole world with the gospel. That feels impossible. It really does. I tend to read things literal, and I'm like, all right, gotta go. This is a reality, but you're not alone in it. But guess what? You may be called to the person that lives next door to you, and that's enough. You don't have to go to the Philippines to reach that person. You've got the person at your neighbor that you have contact with that you can be that witness. You have a parent, you have a child, you have an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, a boss. Some of you are mentoring. You are to be a witness See, Luke here is emphasizing to evangelize and make disciples, starting in your home local, then watching it spread around the world. See, locally is family, friends, neighbors, maybe a local sports team. Maybe regionally, coworkers, partnership with other churches. Nationally, other churches or ministries or prayer. Worldwide, missionaries, ministries around the world. You see how that spreads? All in partnership, what? To reach the lost, to have the cure for death, which is the power of God, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, it's easy to sit down and go, someone else will do it. That's a pastor's job. I'm too busy. Guess what? That's a lie from the devil. That's a lie. Don't believe that lie. The truth is we've been all called or obligated. I used that word earlier on purpose. Obligated to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ, to carry that mantle, to carry that cross, to be representatives, ambassadors of Christ. And so you may be thinking, all right, what do I start? Well, just be that witness with your conduct and your words. But then you begin to think, who am I discipling? A couple weeks, I'm going to really lean in on this idea for us as a church. We're really looking to go, am I discipling someone else? I know in our culture today, mentorship is really growing. It's a hot item, a hot topic idea for us to be a part of, some of you in your workplace. It's a mentorship, empowering, pouring your life into someone else. Are you doing that? So important. So important for us to do that. So I'm going to challenge us in a couple weeks on that a little bit more. Because I love what Acts 2 is. Peter is finishing up preaching at Pentecost, where thousands of people are saved and baptized. It's an incredible start of the church. Verse 37 of Acts 2. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Man, what a really, really clear, concise. Man, the gospel, the truth, man, it will cut to the heart. It will convict. It will go, wow, I need to change something. Wow, that sounds incredible. Wow, I need to give my life to Christ. We believe that. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? How do we respond? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There it is. Simple, basic idea for us to live out for Christ. We are witnesses to him. I'm going to close this morning. I read these a few weeks ago, and I had written them in my notes. I keep notes on my phone. I actually didn't write them in my notes for this message. So I begin to think, okay, why don't we represent Christ? I think of the busyness that we live in our life. I think of just, it's easy to compartmentalize. It's easy to know this, or, you know, I don't know enough. I can come up with all these different things, but I read these four reasons the church doesn't fulfill the mission of God. I thought, wow, this is so practical. So I'm going to read them to you. You let them apply to your life, because some of them apply to my life as well. The first one, division. The church is so busy fighting one another that we no longer fight the enemy. Division. That's not just division in the church here. That's division amongst churches. We got our kingdoms. We don't want to work together. We don't want to represent the gospel. We're like, hey, you know, we're competing with other churches. Guess what? We're not competing with any other gospel preaching church. Man, how can we cheer them on, pray for them, and encourage them? That has to be our mindset. But division even in this church, going like, how can we forgive one another? How can we move forward? get through some difficulties and be a part of unity. It's interesting, as the Apostle Paul writes over and over and over and over and over again as he's writing to churches in the New Testament, this idea of being unified. And so fighting division. I read an article this week that has really kind of made me sick all week. It's an article written, Worst Christians of 2025. And I spent my time reading it, by the way. I want you to know that. Where they rank different Christians and literally write that they're the worst Christians of a year. And then they put one online. I thought, what a waste of time. What a waste of time. And I thought, I waste time, probably a lot of dumb times. But I'm like, what are you doing? You're causing division, having other believers read this. Like, how about you spend a little different time on something else? It's not fulfilling what the mission of God is. The second one, it's become us versus them. We've lost our compassion for the world. We go, man, the world's too broken. They're messed up. They're getting what they deserve. Let's just turn inward. Care for one another here. Like, let's become isolationists and deal with the craziness of the world. Yeah, we are in this world, not of this world. Our identity, our value is not in this world. But guess what? God has placed us here for such a time as this, as we live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's placed you in your neighborhood. He's placed you at your workplace. He's placed you in your family. God has placed you with the interactions in your life. He's empowered you. He's equipped you. Now live for him as a witness. And ask for compassion. God, break my heart for what breaks yours. Third one is complacency. Complacency. Being complacent. Overly satisfied with our current situation, achievements, or abilities. Often to the point of becoming critical. Psalm 1 talks about where we sit in the seat of the scoffer. We become critical, unconcerned, or unwilling to try harder or improve. Like, you know what? I've done enough. Isn't this enough? Contentment is not complacency, by the way. Being content with what God places you doesn't mean you're to be complacent. So not being complacent. And the last one is fatigue. I'm tired. I've done enough. I thought this was an interesting one. Because there's some in here, man, the world can kick you right in the teeth and make you tired. Experienced some difficulties. You've grown weary. Can I say to you this? That's where we slide back into Acts 1:8, where the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, God, you comfort, you guide, you energize. God, I just pray that I rely solely on you, not in my own strength, not in my own might, not in my own power, not in my own authority, not in anything I can do. God, you use me in a mighty way that I can give you glory and honor and say, you've done it, I did nothing. And I pray that for some of you with, you've been witnessing to a family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor for years and nothing seems to be happening. And I pray that 2026 is the year of breakthrough for you. I really do. I pray that that child comes back to Christ this year. I pray that that relationship is repaired. I pray for you as we're able to see that. What did you hear me say? Prayer, 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 prayer. It's reliance on Christ. See, we are witnesses. We are representatives. We are ambassadors for him. Second to last book in the Bible. A little small book. Jude. Jude chapter 1, verse 3 says, the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. I read that this week and I thought, wow, that's us. You've been entrusted with it. You've been given it to be a steward. How do we witness? How do we represent Christ? And this was the most convicting thing for me as I began to prep the sermon, because I began to look at my own life, really truly examine and go, wow, God, how many wasted opportunities. You've given me these relationships with people. Have you ever even talked to Christ about them? And I can say, no. Have you ever tried to care for them? Have you ever tried to pray for them? Have you ever tried to be a part of being the witness God has placed? And I began to be convicted in my own life and begin to think, how does that permeate inside the church? We can think and create all these different excuses, but I thought, wow, we're so divided. We can be at us versus them. We can be complacent. We can just become tired. But the reality is none of them are good enough. Why? Because God has placed you for such a time as this, right here, right now, to be his ambassador, to be his witness. May God use us. May God stretch us. I open this message this year as a challenge to represent Christ more effectively and fervently every day. May we do that together. God, I come to you this morning. God, my prayer for us as a church, my prayer for us as followers of you, my prayer for men and women and families, my prayer, God, right now is that we represent you more effectively and fervently today than we did yesterday. God, not to build bigger congregations, not to build bigger buildings, not for any of that, but to simply build and be a part of building your kingdom, God. May we lay aside the things that really don't matter. And may our focus, may our calling, may our purpose be on reliance and trust and empowerment of you, God. God, I pray for everyone that can hear my voice right now. God, we can come up with all these different excuses. We can come up with all these different ideas, or we can come up with all these different thoughts of why we're not being representatives, ambassadors, witnesses of you. But God, may you convict us. Just as Acts 2 said, as your word cut to the heart. God, I ask for that right now. God, that we're able to see people saved, transformed by the gospel. Not a pastor, not a message, not a program, not a ministry, but simply by you. God, I pray for that wholeheartedly right now. May we be challenged, convicted by that. God, may we find ourselves on our knees praying. Praying for that neighbor, praying for that child, praying for that parent, praying for that spouse, praying for that friend, praying for that coworker. God, more fervently this year. And God, may you do a work. We entrust them to you. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, empowering, equipping, guiding, leading us. God, we pray for that. We love you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.